I want you to listen now to a very unusual message God gave me a few years back. It's preached live at Benson Grove Baptist Church. It's entitled, The Sounds of Calvary. Many of you have childhood memories of certain sounds. Many of you are raised maybe in an area where there were railroads, and you remember the lonely cry of that whistle at the night. Many of you raised out in the country, and you remember the crickets at night or the birds or the whippoorwill. And many of you raised maybe in the mountains or other areas where there were waterfalls, and you remember those sounds. Well, I'm convinced that if you'd been at Calvary the day of the death of our Lord, that there'd be sounds that echo in your mind and heart for all eternity. Listen to the message now entitled, The Sounds of Calvary. But you know, He came to suffer and to bleed and die, give His life a ransom. God gave you and I wonderful senses. That is, we can see and we can hear and we can smell and we can taste. I came in early this morning and came through and cut all the lights on up this way. But the guys and it's Peggy and them have been out there earlier cooking. And when I opened this back door, I could smell country ham. I mean, I told them, I said, I'm going to have to lock the doors in the auditorium, keep everybody in there. You can smell. Boy, thank God for that sense of smell that God gave us. And, you know, the rose, to smell the aroma of a rose and other things that you have associated all of your life, you know, with. I think about going to the state fair. I go in the front gate eating, and I go out the back gate eating. And when you walk in there and you begin to smell all those aromas, and I tell you just something, God gave you that wonderful sense. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to give you a sense of smell, but He did. He gave you sight to see beautiful things and see things. I this morning, of course, it's kind of overcast and everything, but it's still a beautiful morning. And I love to get up in our kitchen. I wanted to face us right toward the east in the kitchen, and a lot of time that's where I like to get early in the morning and get up on a stool there by the bar and read the Word of God and pray, and that sun will come up and it comes right through that kitchen window, and as it comes through that kitchen window, I've got up on a couple occasions and got a camera and going out and take a picture of the sunrise. It's just such a beautiful thing, and those scenes you'll never forget. Certain things you've seen before that you never have forgotten. You just close your eyes and see things. Even some of you when you were children, things that happened, things that you saw, things you experienced. And you can just close your eyes and you can see those things and relive those things all over again. God gave you that wonderful sense of sight, being able to see things and to experience things, to smell wonderful aromas, and then to see things and all those things. Those are wonderful things. But then He gave us another sense, and that's the sense of hearing. A few years back, I brought a message over in the old building, and I don't think I've ever brought it over here, but it's been on my heart, and I was invited this week to a Christian school to preach this message, and I got to thinking about it, praying about it, and the Lord laid on my heart to share it with you again this morning. And sound is a wonderful thing. You know, there are people who have even lost their vision, but their sound. I was at the hospital this week, and Emily was there with the baby, and she was telling us that after the baby was born, and he was just having a fit, he was crying and everything, and they brought him to her, and she started talking to him. As soon as she started talking, he just calmed down, and then whenever she'd quit talking, he'd go to crying again when she talked. And then even when Kylie came in, and Kylie was there, and Kylie began to talk to him, he'd look and listen, because he'd heard those voices before. He knew them. He recognized those voices. Even before he was born, he heard things and recognized things. You got sounds you remember. Boy, you can put it all together. I was thinking about when I was a boy growing up. In fact, it's been a long time since I've done it, but they don't make them like they used to. But watermelons. I'm a country boy. I love watermelons. And boy, I'll tell you, most wonderful things I've ever experienced as a little boy, a great big old watermelon. And when you take and stick a butcher knife in the end of that thing, and it would say, I hear that sound. I can hear that sound right now. And then the aroma that comes out of there. And man, listen, to see that just dark, deep red watermelon, I tell you, it was just something. I can relive that right now. It makes me want a piece right now, I tell you. And I just think about those things. And then I was thinking about sights and sounds and all those things. And a little over 2 years ago now, maybe a little longer, I was riding with Brother Jim Cochran. We've been to a preacher's meeting.
And boy, everything, we had a wonderful meeting. We're right along there just fellowshipping and coming into this town. It's four-lane road, but it's still a 55-mile-hour speed limit. But we're coming up on a set of lights there, and it was green, and we were just going right on. And a guy in a pickup truck came through the red light and hit us. I mean, it just that quick, you know how it happens. You know, like watching NASCAR film, you can see it. You know, when they're racing and you see the wreck happen, but then when they do one of those onboard cameras, you realize how fast it really was. And the same thing, boy, I can close my eyes and I can see just that blur of that white truck. And boy, I can hear that blam when he hit us, and I can see that telephone pole coming right at me, and then the crash, the airbags, and the horn blowing after it was over with, and all the racket, and all those things, you relive all those things, your senses. But there were so many sights and sounds associated with Calvary. We were not able to be there. You and I have, some of you may have visited Israel. I've never been there. But in the Word of God, I believe there are sights and sounds recorded. And this morning, I just want to talk to you about the sounds of Calvary. And let's ask God, the Holy Spirit, to help us to live some of those sounds. Get them in our mind, get them in our heart, so we won't ever forget them and remember what He did for us. I want to look in Matthew chapter 27, if you have your Bible, chapter 26 to start with, actually. Chapter 26. In chapter 26, the first sound associated with Calvary that I want us to deal with, you'll find there in chapter 26. And I want to look at verse number 38. Matthew 26 and verse 38. Then said he unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Imagine yourself in the dark night, the night of his prior to his crucifixion. He and his disciples, a few of the disciples, go out into this garden spot on the Mount of Olives. He tells them to stay and pray, watch and pray. He goes a little further. And out of that dark night, they hear this awful agony. They've seen him pray. They've seen him pray to the Father, and lepers were healed. They saw him pray and Lazarus came out of a grave. They've seen him pray about a lot of things. In fact, they were so impressed with his prayer life that they didn't ever ask Jesus to teach them how to preach. They said, teach us how to pray. But on this morning, it's different. They've never heard him pray like he prayed. The Bible said he was in such agony that it was like great sweat drops of blood, and they heard him pray. Can you imagine what it was like for him to pray? Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. The silence is broken in a short time. He comes back to the disciples and he says, sleep on. But then in the distance, they hear a racket. Is it a crowd coming to sing Hosanna to the King again? Is it a crowd coming to proclaim him as King of Israel? No, it's a noise of soldiers, shields and swords and spears. And they come through the night. And as they approach, they stand. And one figure comes out of that crowd and he walks up to him. And you hear this sound. A kiss. In the dark of night, a kiss. The Lord Jesus Christ is betrayed with a kiss. Somebody said, Judas kissed the door of heaven and went to hell. I got an idea that of all the sounds that some of that crowd remember, they remember the betrayal, that kiss. I've seen new mothers kiss a little infant baby on the brow. I've seen weeping families kiss one as they say goodbye at death. I've seen all those things, and I can have mental pictures of those, and I can hear them. I remember when my wife leaned over our little girl when she died up at Duke Hospital and kissed her. And I remember her saying, honey, I'll see you later. I remember that sound of that last kiss. But for eternity, Judas lives with the sound of that last kiss when he kissed the door of heaven and went to hell. What an awful sound that must be to haunt him. What a reminder to all those disciples every time they saw a kiss or heard someone kiss of what happened that night and when he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. Before they came to the garden, they had the Last Supper together. And if you look down in chapter 26, verse 74, you'll find this. Chapter 26, verse 74. Then began he to curse and to swear and saying, I know not the man. Here's the sound of betrayal. Simon Peter, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I'm going to be crucified and you'll be scattered. And you'll forsake me. Simon Peter said, Lord, if all of these forsake you, I'm not going to forsake you. And he said, you will. And he said, Simon, I'll tell you something. He said, before the cock crows, before the rooster crows in the morning, you'll deny me three times. They came to him and they said, you're one of his disciples. And he said, I am not. Somebody else came and said, your speech betrays you. You're one of his disciples. And he said, not. And then on the third time, the Bible says that they said that he was one of his disciples and he began to curse and to swear. Man, what a haunting sound. I can remember things I said I wish I had never said. I can go back in my mind and I can remember some instances of things that I said that I should not have said. I can remember other people saying things. And it's in my heart and in my mind forever. Some things were good and some things were bad. But can you imagine that sound that night as it echoes in the mind and heart of Simon Peter? But I hear another sound in that verse. And here's what it says. I know not the man, he said. And immediately the cock crew. Now listen to this. Simon Peter, in that night, all the crowds, all the racket going on, and he's now denied the Lord three times, and he hears this saying, listen. There are sounds that you hear that bless you. I love to hear the birds singing. But that sound made Simon Peter's blood run cold because the Bible said this next statement, verse 75. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which he saith unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and he wept bitterly. What an awful sound. From that day on, every time a rooster would crow, Simon Peter would remember. He'd remember that he'd denied the Lord. He'd remember the fact that he had opportunity to witness for Christ and he didn't. That sound was a sound of conviction. But I think it's also a sound to remember, to keep him motivated never to deny the Lord again. And I don't think he ever did. He witnessed for the Lord Jesus Christ. Judas, who kissed the door of heaven, and then went to hell. In just a little bit, you're going to have an opportunity to do 30 pieces of silver offering. And as you do that 30 pieces of silver offering, you'll be reminded of that day. Simon Peter betrayed the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. I don't know how long he actually had it in his hand, but he had it for a while after he denied the Lord. Kept it all that night. I don't know how many times he counted it. How many times it went through his hand? How many times he thought about what he might do with it? But when Christ was arrested, began to be beaten, scourged, go through that trial, he realized what he'd done. The Bible said that he came back into the temple where the scribes and the Pharisees were at. And he said to them, I have betrayed innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? And he said, I've betrayed innocent blood. They wouldn't listen to him. The Bible said he cast down his silver. That money that was supposed to give him joy, I don't know what he intended to do with it, now becomes a haunting sound that lives with him for eternity. That silver hitting that floor, the price of betrayal. I wonder how many times we, like Simon Peter, have had a chance to witness and yet we denied. Times that we betrayed the Lord and we failed him, and those sounds live forever. Simon experienced that denial. Judas experienced the sound of that money hitting that floor, and it was an awful sound. But my friend, there are some other sounds in this passage of Scripture. They bring him to the trial. And when Pilate brings him back out, he scourged him. He's just a bloody mass, hardly recognizable. And he parades him out, and he's got this plan to release Barabbas. Surely they'll choose Barabbas instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. Barabbas is a thief and a robber, a murderer. Christ hadn't done anything wrong. But instead of saying they want Christ, they want Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. And then that sound that would just put chills over you. Pilate says, what shall I do with Christ? And here's what they say. Crucify him. Crucify him. I can just hear that voice of the screaming mob that night as they said, crucify him. Crucify him. What a sound. Some of that crowd later, no doubt, trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of them went on into eternity, lost. Instead of saying, Father, I've sinned, or receive me, accept me, forgive my sin, save me, they said, crucify him, crucify him. And that's what they live with for all eternity, that cry. But not only did I hear the cry of that crowd and the cry of that mob, but I hear another sound. They've got Jesus in the hall, and as they begin to question him, interrogate him, the high priest is interrogating him, and one of those soldiers standing there, the Bible said he slapped the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, what a sound. The Son of God incarnate in human flesh, God in the earth, and a human hand striking his face. He fashioned man out of the dust of the earth and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. And now his creation strikes the very face of God. What a sound. What an awful thing to have to live with for all eternity. The sound of that striking of the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that he took him and he scourged him. I don't have a scourge. I picked up this leather belt this morning. But what an awful sound. Some of you saw the Passion of the Christ. And you know, Brother Bill preached a few weeks ago on the cross, and he talked about that cat of nine tails. They'd take the Lord Jesus Christ and they'd put him, stretch him out. And then that one who was an executioner actually would take that cat of nine tails and he would strike the back of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he hit him some 39 times, you could hear that lash that went across his back. It was a horrible sound, crowd jeering. But there was a sound of silence on that day. Amazing. I got an idea, the more that strong soldier hit the back of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more amazed he was. Because the Bible said he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and he opened not his mouth. He didn't scream. He didn't plead for mercy. He didn't beg. He accepted it. Didn't say a word. The Bible said, by his stripes we are healed. You know the picture now. crucify him, crucify him. They lead him out through the streets and up to that mountain. Would you bow your heads for just a few moments and watch as they go up that Villa Dolorosa? Will you see him as he climbs that hill called Golgotha? The cross becomes so heavy, falls beneath the load. There on that hill, they take the Lord Jesus Christ, they place him on a cross, and then the sound that would live in the heart and the mind of all those present that day for eternity. Look this way. They drive that nail in his hands and his feet. The sound, not of trumpets declaring him King of Kings, not of angels singing peace on earth, goodwill toward men, but a life that began in that scene of joy around Bethlehem now begins to come to an end on an old rugged cross. It's not the sound of happy, jubilant worshipers. It's a mocking, jeering crowd. He saved others, let him save himself. What sound would you hear next? Having nailed him to that cross and he hangs, what sound do you hear now? It's the voice of the Son of God. He spoke the worlds into existence, let there be light, and there was light. He spoke the stars into existence and all the animal world, everything that you see and enjoy. What does it say? First thing he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He demonstrated in his death that mercy and grace that he lived all of his life and that he offers to us now. The sound of forgiveness and pardon. There's another sound on that cross that day. It's a sound of repentance. Two thieves on either side of the Lord Jesus Christ. One mocks, if thou be the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other one repents. And he rebukes that one and he says, don't you understand this is the Son of God? Don't you realize that we're dying justly, but he's done nothing amiss, nothing wrong? And here's what he says. He said, remember me when thou comest to thy kingdom. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. The sound of forgiveness. My dear friend, I've experienced that sound. I didn't hear it with an audible ear, but I heard it in my heart and I felt it. When I cried out and said, God be merciful to me, a sinner, God save me, God save me. He spoke peace to my heart, peace to my, and joy. For all eternity, the one man would be in hell, tormented, if thou be the Christ. And the other rejoicing, you'll get to see him one day. And he prayed a simple prayer, never was baptized, never went to church, never did one good thing, but you'll see him in heaven. And here's what he said, remember me when thou comest to thy kingdom. What a blessing. He hangs on that cross, and I preached on that last Sunday. And as it comes down to the end of that period on the cross, you hear this sound, it is finished. And thank God for that. And the Bible said, and he gave up the ghost. Would you bow your heads one more time, please? The Bible said when he bowed his head and gave up the ghost, something strange happened on that day. The earth began to tremble. I can just see it in my mind that there was silence where the crowd had been mocking and jeering. He cries, it is finished. And with that, there's silence. The earth begins to tremble and quake. There were some gathered around the temple. And inside the temple, there was a great heavy veil that separated man from God. Only once a year could the high priest go in. That represented that petition between God and man. Had to have a mediator, had to have somebody to go in and intercede for you. But our great high priest died on that cross that day, and he's died on that cross and gave his life a ransom. Those in the temple area, heard a most unique sound. Listen. The Bible says from the top to the bottom, the veil of the temple was rent. Look this way. The Bible said, now we have access to God through the rent veil of His flesh. That middle wall partition was torn down. That curtain was torn into. Now we have a direct access to God. You don't have to go through a man. You don't have to go through a Catholic pope. You don't have to go through anybody. Any man, woman, boy, and girl has direct access to God because of the sound of the rending of the veil. It's torn in two. You have direct access to God. Thank God that's the sound of entry. It's the sound that anybody, whosoever will may come, can come to the Lord Jesus Christ. They took the body off the cross. Joseph of Arimathea, they wrapped it, placed it in a barred tomb. And for 3 days, the disciples wept and sought God and questioned and wondered. But then comes that resurrection morning. It's the sound of resurrection. Turn over to chapter 28, the last sound this morning I deal with, and we'll pick back up with this thought in just a little while. But notice in chapter 28, here's why we're here at 6:30 in the morning. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Christians worship on the first day of the week. Sunday is not the weekend, it's the week beginning. This begins the week. Sunday is the first day of the week. And we come to worship Him because He's a living Savior. But listen to the sound. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. And his countenance was like light, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel said to the women, fear not, ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell the disciples that he's risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I've told you. The sound of resurrection. Man, they came that morning with spices to anoint the body of Jesus, brokenhearted and weeping. Boy, as they approached, the sound of earthquake shook the ground. The stone rolled away. The angel said, he's not here. He's risen. What a sound. Man, listen, of all the things they'd ever heard, that's a sound they'll never forget. They'll never forget the scene of seeing that angel and hearing that, the resurrected Lord. My dear friend, I'll never forget the day that I met that resurrected Lord, the day that He came in my life and forgave my sin, and the feeling that I had that all the world was lifted off of me. My sin was gone and heaven was mine, and to know that He's alive forevermore. I'll never forget the sound of hearing the gospel as people preached and my pastor preached as a young man as I was saved and listened to the Word of God. Listen, the Word of God ringing in my heart and in my ears. Thank God for that. The sound of the resurrection. He's alive. And He's alive forevermore. Thank God. My dear friend, there's another sound, and we're going to skip all the way over. And this is it. He said this, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. That's those who've died, their bodies in the grave, they're present with the Lord. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. One of these days there'll be another sound. It is the trump of God and the voice of the archangel. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. What a sound that's going to be when the trumpet sounds loud enough to wake up the dead. Would you stand with me, please, and let's pray together. The sounds of Calvary. The sound of agony in the garden. The sound of betrayal, the kiss of Judas. The sound of denial, Simon Peter cursed and said, I know not the man. The sound of conviction, the rooster crowing. The sound of the silver that hit the temple floor, the sound of betrayal. The sound of the mob, crucify him, crucify him. The sound of the rooster crowing for conviction. The sound of the hammer as it rings, nails the nails into the hands of Christ, hands and feet. The sound of the cries of the Lord from the cross, the sound of repentance and salvation, the sound of victory, it is finished. The sound of entry, the rending of the veil, we have direct access to God. The sound of the resurrection, He is not here, He's risen.
I look for a home, just an humble abode among men. While in heaven a mansion is waiting.
My dear friend, there are many sounds that issued from Calvary that day, but I think one of the most compelling sounds is the cry of our Lord. It is finished. My dear friend, what he was saying was this: I have accomplished the purpose God the Father sent me to do. I have offered my soul as a ransom. The Bible said scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended, God showed His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Dear friend, wherever you are today, in your 18-wheeler, in your automobile, in a motel room, in your home, wherever you're at listening to this CD or cassette, I want you to know that when Jesus Christ was on the cross, you were on His mind, and He died just for you. And He said, whosoever will may come, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, let me invite you to meet the resurrected Christ. He's not dead. He's not in a grave. He's not still on the cross. He's alive forevermore. He's where you are in the person of the Holy Spirit. And if you'd call on Him right now, on the authority of God's Word, He promised He'd save you. You might pray a simple prayer, something like this, if you don't know Him as Lord. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. You died to save sinners. I turn from my sin. I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. Come in my heart, forgive me of my sin. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving me and for dying for me and for saving me right now. Help me, Lord Jesus, to love You and serve You and live for You. My dear friend, if you pray that prayer, or if I can help you in any way, give me a call, 919-894-7783. I want to help you. I want to be a blessing to you. I'd be glad to send you some more materials, absolutely free. If you can help us in any way, we'd appreciate it, but it's not necessary. We want to be a blessing to you.